To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 28, 1999.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or a good morning, wherever the case may be, wherever you may be. And that's a wide territory indeed, from the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the pole, worldwide on the internet. Thank you, Broadcast.com. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. And in the first hour this night, we are going to speak with Linda Moulton Howe, who has quite a bit of news for you, as a matter of fact. In the second hour, because, of course, of first of all, I suppose, my natural inclination, but then how could I resist the fact that Jerry Falwell has said the Antichrist is probably alive today and, in fact, is a male Jew. And he also said the second coming of Christ will occur within the next 10 years. The important part of this story is Jerry Falwell has said the Antichrist is here now. Now, as you know, a year ago, approximately, I opened the Antichrist line. It was a very illuminating experience for me. Now, I did this far ahead of the Reverend Falwell, but his statement about the Antichrist being here now absolutely compels me to once again open my Antichrist line next hour. So, should be interesting, funny, scary. I don't know what it'll be. We'll open a line to anybody out there who thinks, or should I say, knows, they are the Antichrist. Last time I rang off the hook. Anyway, we will get to Linda Moulton Howe and a big update for you in just a moment. Stay right where you are. You're in the right spot. We'll kind of update the headlines in the next hour. Right now, Linda Moulton Howe from Philadelphia. Linda is, she protests this, I think the nation's premier crop circle animal mutilation investigator. She really resists that title. I think that she has won some number of awards for her environmental documentaries. Her science is careful. Plotting, very careful indeed, and you can be sure when you hear something, you can take it to the bank if Linda Moulton Howe says it. She's a science reporter here on Coast, a weekly reporter on Dreamland. Here she is, Linda Moulton Howe. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Art.
And I forgot, Miss Iowa. No.
No, Idaho.
No, Miss Idaho. Miss Idaho.
Well, it helped put me through my master's degree at Stanford University that set me on this path of investigating science, medicine, and the environment.
Also put a lot of web hits on my website.
Well, I have always been intrigued by the world around me, and I am also sad, as we are getting ready to go into the next century, at how much deterioration there is on this planet.
Yes.
Mysterious marine deaths are in the news again. On Wednesday, January 27th, 11 bottlenose dolphins were found dead off southern Thailand, and no one knows why. The dolphins were all young males, about 5.5 feet long. A spokesman at the Phuket Marine Biotech Center said, quote, "It is rare and strange to find dolphins this young and strong dying in such large numbers," unquote. The center has received 6 of the dead dolphins to determine the cause of death. The Thai Gulf is home to several hundred bottlenose dolphins, so it is important to find out what is killing them. Also making headlines this week were scientists who finally hit bedrock about two-thirds of a mile beneath the Antarctic in what's known as Sipple Dome, an immense bulge of ice 500 miles north of the South Pole. It took 3 years of drilling. The project is sponsored by the National Science Foundation in Washington, D.C. The goal is to find out if there was any time in Earth's past when the Antarctic ice cap was completely gone. Next year, the research team hopes to dig up several feet of underlying bedrock to see if that was ever exposed to sunlight or cosmic rays.
Yes, I saw them landing on CNN, by the way.
Yeah, and so far, other evidence to this point suggests much of the Antarctic ice cap did vanish about 125,000 years ago. If that's true, what happened back then?
Big flood?
When, with global warming upon us and sea levels rising into this next century, could this happen again in our future? This is one of the challenges to this scientific effort. Now, each month, I receive several reports from people in the United States and other countries who describe seeing unusual objects in the sky that they cannot identify. For those close enough to see a shape, the description is usually round, oval, or cylindrical, or sometimes diamond, ice cream cone, or boomerang. And then there is another class of aerial vehicles that are very large and silent. Those are the triangles. For example, between November 1989 and March 1990, civilian and military officials in Belgium received over 2,500 reports of large, silent triangles over that country. And we're all familiar with the March 13, 1997 appearance of an unidentified, large, silent triangle over Phoenix, Arizona, estimated by some witnesses to be nearly a mile or 2 miles long. Even further back in time, there is the April 1954 U.S. War Department's Majestic 12 Psalm 101 training manual that's reprinted in my book, Glimpses of Other Realities, Volume 2, High Strangeness, and is also in the Bob and Ryan Wood documents. In it, there is a section labeled Extraterrestrial Technology Description of Craft, and it states, quote, airfoil or triangular shape. This craft is believed to be new technology due to the rarity and recency of the observations. Radar indicates an isosceles triangle profile, the longest side being nearly 300 feet in length. Little is known about the performance of these craft due to the rarity of good sightings, but they are believed capable of high speeds and abrupt maneuvers similar to or exceeding the performance attributed to disc and ovoid shapes, unquote. And that was a 1954 description by our own government. Tonight, I want to report an extraordinary triangle craft encounter that took place on the Cold War border of East and West Germany near Fulda in the summer of 1989. Fulda is northeast of Frankfurt. The eyewitness is retired Army Sergeant Clifford E. Stone, author of UFOs Are Real. Sergeant Stone served for more than 20 years as an Army nuclear, biological, and chemical retrieval specialist. He feels strongly that the United States government should go on the record publicly about its knowledge of extraterrestrial craft and entities. That is why he is writing and speaking out. This story begins on a late summer afternoon in 1989, about 4 months after the Belgian flyovers of triangle-shaped craft had made international news. Sergeant Stone is standing in a checkpoint tower with other security people and can clearly see guards in the East German tower across the border. An alert comes in that a new Soviet aircraft is coming toward them, low to the ground. Sergeant Stone told me what happened during my recent visit to his Roswell, New Mexico home. Here for the first time, with his permission, is an excerpt from that interview. Sergeant Clifford Stone.
And now you're going to hear it first, folks. Here he comes.
This is what the person that's reporting it has no knowledge. He's making an assumption here. He's assuming it's Soviet because it's coming in from the Soviet side. And it actually comes over and very carefully glides this way. Well, since we were already involved and we could see that it was somewhat triangular shape from a distance, and it came in very slowly and turned, you have a vehicle that is triangular in shape that is probably 5 stories high, 3 rows of what appears to be lighted windows or ports or something, 3 football fields across on either side. This is no craft that was developed on this earth.
It's a 1,000-foot equilateral triangle?
Equilateral. This was huge.
And you're in the tower outside?
I'm in the tower. I still have the field glasses that I looked at it through.
But are you behind windows? Or
No. The tower that we're in is open. It took on definite dimensions where you could tell this was not any type of conventional type airframe of the Soviets or any other country on the face of this earth. When you saw how huge it was, your immediate impact on you was a fleeing moment of fear.
Yeah.
But then your fear turns to awe because you are seeing something that defies the imagination. You are seeing something that you want the grand tour. You really want to be inside. You want to see what this is all about.
What color are you seeing?
At that time, we are seeing underneath, we have one big massive light right at the center, circular, and it's red. Then along, slightly inside, underneath the craft, you have several rows. I didn't count them. I can't recollect how many, but you have several rows of flashing lights, multicolored lights, every color of the rainbow.
Are they going like this, or?
Going around like that, then all of a sudden, and they'll go at faster speed.
So the triangle itself is like bordered or edged in these flashing different color lights.
With these flashing different color lights.
And there's a great big red light in the middle.
Right in the middle. At the corner of the triangle, inside where the colored lights are, you have like a orange or amber light at each end, and sometimes they would flash white. There was a high background radiation strong enough to kill the people within, what was it? Half the people that was involved there should have been dead within 24 hours because of the background radiation. Yet, there was no ill effects. There were some people who got sick, but this was more along the lines of fear causing these people to get sick.
And were they all military who got sick?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As far as the civilians go, the location we were at, if any civilians saw it, none really came right out and reported it. On the Soviet side, I have no knowledge. Should I say on the German side, I have no knowledge what happened there.
But you had military people who were going to a hospital sick?
We had military people who came down nauseous. The aid personnel trained, took care of them right out there on the gap.
Started vomiting?
They got sick. They vomited.
Right there. Was the craft in the sky above them when they started vomiting?
Not directly over us, because you have an area that is of Soviet territory that's between us and them, that there's no one there. I mean, it's a no-man's zone.
So the triangle was over the no-man's zone?
Well, it was over the Soviet territory. It didn't come into our territory. We scrambled. We had fighter aircraft scrambled from Reinstein Air Force Base to do an IIF intercept. That's the intercept, identify friend or foe. And they were doing this, but we could not go into the Soviet territory. Now, which I wasn't involved with, but we were monitoring radio traffic from the Soviet side. And I know that they were very alarmed and concerned about what they were seeing. They also scrambled some Foxbats to do an intercept, and these Foxbats were, in fact, armed. And there was discussion of them. There was discussion as to them engaging this craft.
Did they have people vomiting on the Russian side, too?
I don't know.
But on our side?
On our side, I was there. I know what happened there. On the Soviet side, we could tell that they were panicky just like us.
Were the men who were vomiting within what distance from them?
I would say the closest approach was probably maybe 200 meters.
And is that vertical, 600 feet in the air, or is it lower?
At an angle.
Okay, and how high do you think it was?
Oh, I would say it was probably 400 or 500 feet high. It was low.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was very, if it would have been higher, it would have been awesome, but you wouldn't have the feeling that it was going to land. I mean,
you had the feeling it was going to land.
We had the feeling that we were about to be confronted. And your hair was standing up on its end. I mean,
like electrostatic?
Hair. Yeah, and, you know, we felt that there was something more to this than it just being our fears. And anyone who said they wasn't afraid is not telling the truth.
Wow.
I can understand a person trying to deny being there and seeing anything more than I could understand a person saying he saw it and he wasn't afraid.
So this is about 400, 500 feet up, maybe at about an angle of 600 feet on an angle. And men, you, yourself included in the tower, would be about 600 feet away from it?
I would say we were roughly 600 feet or so away from it.
Did you feel nauseous?
I didn't get sick. I didn't feel nauseous. I took an Alka-Seltzer after that, but I always had problems, and Alka-Seltzer always made me feel better.
Temperature? Warm? Cold?
You felt cold, but here again, I think that was more a psychological effect.
Could you feel any vibration of anything?
Actually, no.
Actually, we're losing audio here.
It was very quiet. And I looked at the guys on my left, and I looked at the guys on my right.
There we go.
And one guy went ahead, and on the back of the APCs, the M113s, we had anti-tank missiles. And one guy was getting ready to fire one of these at the object. And I went ahead, and I told him to hold on, son. Don't do anything. Don't fire anything. We're not in any danger. You do something like that, we may be. But it was
probably, what happened? Did he back off?
Yeah, he went ahead and regained his composure, but all of us were scared. No one ran. No one. We didn't. The Soviets didn't. We held our ground. But you forced yourself. You were afraid. I mean, you really had this fear. And
you had your weapons drawn or weapons ready?
Oh, we had our weapons. I mean, you could even hear them chambering rounds. And the colonel there, lieutenant colonel, he went ahead and told everyone to check their fire. Nobody fire.
And now it's up there. Everything is silent. You're in the tower. They're in the tower. Men are getting sick. What happens?
It hangs over there. There's a lot of... And this is a unique thing. Our radios didn't go dead. There was a lot of static. They did not go dead. We could go ahead and alternate channels on our radios, and we had, I think, four or five different pushes that we were using. As long as we alternated between those four or five, we could go ahead and communicate.
All right, we're going to hold it right there. Absolutely incredible. What an absolutely incredible report. Whew. Gee whiz, all of that just absolutely begs an FOIA request, doesn't it? Freedom of information. We've got enough details to go after the precise report on what happened. Linda Moltau will continue with her interview in a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 28, 1999.
By the day now, by the day, I'm beginning to get more and more reports that are beginning to convince me that Y2K is real. Look, if something threatens your power, Y2K, a power outage. By the way, I have all my computers fixed. You know what it was? It was a power outage that did it, actually a surge. Took a lot of Las Vegas out. Out here we had a big boom. So I now have a new CD. I have a new Ethernet card. I've got my ISDN backup. And I've got a nice new surge protector. So everything's working. Thank God. Actually, I had my gun out. I was going to shoot my computer earlier today. Glad I didn't do it. I was also going to shoot my Telnet to Ascend router down here. Glad I didn't shoot that, too. Because, really, I should have gone out and plugged a power company transformer or perhaps shot myself in the foot. That would have been appropriate, since I'm the guy without the surge protector. Well, this is about one of the most amazing, incredible reports I've ever heard in my whole life. I mean, you're talking about a major Cold War incident. And let's go ahead and finish the report, and then we'll chat about it. But this is astounding. Linda?
Yes, I agree. And before the break, Sergeant Stone said that as this huge silent triangle hovered above them, their radios had static, but they could still communicate, and they called for help.
We went ahead and requested air support from Ramstein Air Force Base, and they scrambled some fighters to be on the ready to intercept if it crosses over into our territory, because at this stage of the game, it could go any place. And they were going to try to make an identification. I personally thought there wasn't going to be any identification made. But they went to try to do that. They scrambled the fighters to get them on station to where if it crossed in, we could immediately lock on them and make a determination as to whether they were their intentions were friendly or hostile. But we also could get some gun camera footage. Some of the aircraft came very close to the photocat, I'm sure a couple of times even crossing over into it, taking some film footage of the craft.
And it stayed stock still while the airplane did that?
It stayed stock still, but after that happened, it started to move. It dipped like this, like let's say, this is the front, here we are, the triangle's pointing this way. When it got over where it was, it turned like this, very slowly, and it stopped. And when the fighters got on station, they started to take photographs. It went ahead and turned this way and started to go off like this, at which time the Soviet Foxbats hit up on it, and they gave pursuit. And that was the end of the situation. Everyone was debriefed as to what they saw. They had to do drawings. Everyone was told that it was a new Soviet fighter, that the Soviets were testing, I think they were calling them a MiG-37.
Yeah.
And it was their answer to the, I take that back. It was a version of the MiG-37 that was a Soviet fighter that they converted into a Soviet bomber. And actually, it wasn't as big as we were seeing it.
Now, yes. The Soviet MiGs, I think, Art, have covered a tremendous number of objects in the last 40, 50 years.
They seem to account for a lot.
And telling Sergeant Stone and his Army colleagues that the Triangle was a Russian MiG and not as big as they had seen with their own eyes is consistent with the official policy of denial outlined in that 1954 SOM 101 training manual. In fact, it says in Section 1, titled Security, paragraph 12, press blackout, quote, discredit witnesses. If at all possible, witnesses will be held incommunicado until the extent of their knowledge and involvement can be determined. Witnesses will be discouraged from talking about what they have seen, and intimidation may be necessary to ensure their cooperation. If witnesses have already contacted the press, it will be necessary to discredit their stories. This can best be done by the assertion that they have either misinterpreted natural events, are the victims of hysteria or hallucinations, or are the perpetrators of hoaxes. Deceptive statements. It may become necessary to issue false statements to preserve the security of the site. Meteors, downed satellites, weather balloons, and military aircraft are all acceptable alternatives, unquote. Sergeant Stone's experience raises several questions. What was the strong radiation detected by the Geiger counter that should have been lethal but wasn't? Which U.S. government agency has the gun camera film of the enormous triangle-shaped craft while it hovered over the U.S. and East German guard towers that summer of 1989? Was this the same type of craft that flew over Phoenix, Arizona on March 13, 1997? Who or what is in these triangles, and why are they flying in Earth skies? Sergeant Stone remembers at least three destinations for highly classified reports that he was involved in preparing about the triangle craft. And they went to Bolling Air Force Base near Washington, D.C., Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and the National Security Agency at Fort Meade.
God, Linda, you know, if I saw something like that on the border with the Soviet Union in 89, and they told me that was a MiG, that would demoralize the hell out of me. If that's a MiG, we're in deep doo-doo. I mean, isn't that true?
Yes, but as he said, they all knew that what they were looking at, 1,000 feet on a side, 5 stories high, had nothing to do with terrestrial manufacture. And if you want to refresh your memory and go back and read the Psalm 101 training manual about the title is Extraterrestrial Craft and Entity Retrievals. This training manual is not beating around the bush about MiGs. This is talking about extraterrestrial craft. And this is reprinted in Glimpses of Other Realities, Volume 2, High Strangeness, and it's in the context of all these other military voices that I have in the book, and it is available in most nationwide bookstores and at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com on the Internet, and I think that the Psalm 101 training manual is extremely important to study. I know that Stanton Friedman agrees with me and Bob Ryan and several others. And if anyone listening has other military or intelligence information about the extraordinary triangle-type craft, I would really appreciate faxes or mail. I'll give both tonight because I think this is very important. These triangles are so mysterious, so strange, and seemingly so powerful.
As you know, it was my wife's and my own close-up sighting.
Well, yes, how does this one compare, before I give out my facts and address, how does this description compare to what you and Ramona saw?
Very favorably. I couldn't, of course, attest to the height of the craft. There'd be no way I could do that. Otherwise, what we saw, of course, was a perfect, giant, black triangle that was big enough, Linda, that the only way I can describe it is when it came over our heads, which it did directly, about 150 feet, the moon went away, the stars went away, and this thing was like a dome over your head, and then it just kept on trucking.
Did you see any lights in it, as he described, with the
yes.
red or white in the center and at the vertices of the triangle?
Yes. Actually, if I could just get you up to my website, there is a precise, it took several months to do, rendition of exactly what I saw. And it shows you the lights and everything else.
Right.
An astounding story. Plus, what about filing a freedom of information request based on this? We've got enough specific information in that report to file a beaut.
Yep. I've decided to try to help him in that regard. And another thing, as you are talking about your sighting, remember when I did those interviews back in March of 97 with eyewitnesses in Phoenix, that there was a family of five who they were driving in one direction as the large triangle came over, and they started counting. The woman had her head back, looking out through the rear window, and started counting, and they were estimating at the 80 miles an hour they were driving and the length of time that it took the object from the nose point to the back to go across their car, that their math figured that it was about 2 miles long. And that squared with the real estate couple that were up on the hill looking down over a development that they were just laying out the grids of the streets. And they knew exactly that the grids were 1.8 miles long. And when the huge triangle went over near their house, they said, as far as they could tell, it was exactly as long as those grids in that street, which would be 1.8 miles. That's even immensely more enormous than what Clifford Stone and his military colleagues saw back in 1989, when 1,000 feet on the side may have been the most enormous thing anyone had seen back then.
Remarkable. All right, give us your fax number so people can get in touch with you, and a mailing address.
My fax number is area code 215-491-9842. Again, that's 215-491-9842. And my mailing address, for those of you who would prefer to write, is Linda Howe, H-O-W-E, at Post Office Box 300, Jamison, J-A-M-I-S-O-N, Pennsylvania, abbreviated PA, zip code 18929. That's Post Office Box 300, Jamison, PA, 18929. And I will look forward to any information that anyone who has had military or intelligence or any other encounters or experiences with these triangles, or any information about what might be in them. When I asked Clifford Stone if he had ever heard from anyone when he was in Germany about what might be in those triangles, he said that at some point that they were told that our government, which I'm assuming would be the MJ-12 types, knew that there were entities and that they considered them to be not hostile, but on a scientific mission. And when I said, well, how in the world would our government know what it was inside these large triangles, what its agenda was, Clifford Stone said he had no idea, but that is what he had been told at one point, that for some reason there had been some understanding of some kind of communication. And remember, there was this period when these large triangles were seen in various parts of Europe,
Belgium.
Later over the United States.
Belgium had a ton of them.
That's right. They had in March, this was in the July-August time frame of 1989, and from 1989 to 1990, for a period of about 18 months, these kinds of triangles were especially seen around the world. And if Clifford Stone's explanation that we somehow got some kind of information in a way that is not known, that this was a scientific mission, well, whose scientific mission? What is it that our government knows about the intelligences that are in these various kinds of craft? And when you go to that Psalm 101 document and you see it's the drawing that is in the government's own training manual for people that would be involved in retrieval operations of what they use the term extraterrestrial craft and entities, and you see 8 drawings, one of which in the lower right-hand corner is the triangle that has the light configuration, as Clifford Stone described and as you have described, plus all of these others. And it also goes into two types of entities that apparently the government has studied in some fashion from these crashes, and we now know from these newly released documents that there appears to be a refinement of at least three what they're calling landing zones in the first week of July of 1947, from which they got both technology and different types of bodies. But there was nothing in any of those early documents in 47, 48 about these large triangles. This seems to be something, as the Psalm 101 document says, that came later and is considered by our own investigating bodies inside the government as being a highly advanced technology. And I think that makes it very provocative. Is there a difference between who's in the triangles and who's in all of the circular and ovoid disks, and what is the relationship between the two types, if they are different types?
All good questions. Linda, we're going to be doing a show together Monday, so we'll have lots of time, but I've got something I want you to work on for me.
Okay.
The Associated Press headline is, "Dying Blackbirds Rain Down on North Louisiana Town." Marouge, thousands of blackbirds are dying in North Louisiana. Nobody seems to know why for the past several weeks. Wanda and Daniel Hudson of Morehouse Parish enjoyed watching tens of thousands of blackbirds flying over their house toward Marouge each morning. Each afternoon, they watched them fly back. Then Monday, the blackbirds began dropping from the sky into yards and ditches where they staggered, faltered, many making their way out to Louisiana 425. The dead and dying birds have been littering their yard in a five-mile stretch of nearby homes and highways ever since.
Good heaven.
Said,
5 miles of
yes,
birds dropping?
Yes, ma'am. 5 miles. Mrs. Hudson said, "It's really pitiful. They're coming onto our yard and dying. It takes them a while to die. It's obviously a slow, painful death." They called the State Department of Wildlife. Nobody seems to know why they're dying, but Linda, it's by the thousands.
My gosh, if you'll fax that to me, yes, I'll try to have an update for Monday night, which is February 1st on Coast to Coast AM again. And I'll also have an update with astronomers about the age of the universe, the Great Wall and strings of galaxies, gamma bursts, black and white holes, and why Pluto might be both a comet and a planet.
I understand they're actually trying to strip Pluto of its planetary status.
Well, Dr. Marsden at Harvard, who you will hear, this
yes.
wonderful, charming man, he is trying to let people know that they're not trying to strip Pluto. They're trying to peg it with a number out there in those trans-Neptunian belt objects that are icy. They know that they can never take away its status as the ninth planet. They know that that's firm, but they also are frustrated by the fact that Pluto is not like any of the other planets in the system. It is, has a very loopy orbit, appears to be more of an icy object, and so they're trying to come up with a number that will place it in the sequence of those Neptunian objects out there, as well as forever being the ninth planet, while it may very well still be a comet.
Well, the way CNN is reporting it is that they're considering stripping it of its planetary status, and I thought that was a little outrageous myself.
Well, I think that Brian Marsden and other astronomers, that they got tired of all the flap over it, and so you will hear Monday night on Coast that he is saying, no, we are really just trying to give it a Social Security number out there.
And
getting across the idea that it really is quite different than
a
large gassy planet.
You know what, Linda? Our president is trying to put the Social Security money into the stock market. So if it gets a Social Security number as a planet, it's done. Listen, I've got to go. See you Monday.
Okay, thanks, Art.
All right, that's Linda Moulton Howe, folks. Triangular craft. Boy, did I see a triangular craft. Up close and really personal. And once you've seen that, you are never, ever the same person again. This is Coast to Coast AM.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 28th, 1999.
Is this good or what? I didn't do it. Robert Sampler did it. Robert, thank you. He sent several others. They're equally good. And I have a mission for him as well. This guy is talented, really talented. Take it from somebody who phases, this guy knows his stuff. Absolutely excellent. Well, all right, it's going to be a special night tonight, as you know. Let's see what's in the news first, whatever news there is. Seems the president's trial is going to be recessed for a week while prosecutors and White House lawyers depose Monica and two others. It's really all over, you know. It really is all over. In Colombia, the quake toll there now has hit 881. And I'm still surprised, frankly, after seeing on CNN the kind of damage this earthquake caused, that there were not tens of thousands of people killed. Now, Mr. Greenspan addressed the internet frenzy today. As you know, internet stocks have absolutely gone berserk. I mean, they have gone through the roof. And Mr. Greenspan said something like, it's going to be, investing in a hot internet stock is something like hitting a one-in-a-million jackpot in the lottery. This is somewhat reminiscent of the Greenspan irrational exuberance remark. We'll have to see what happens to the internet stocks now. Good luck. So, where does the president want to put our money? Well, he wants to take our Social Security money and, among other things, put it into the stock market, where the internet stocks are. Yeah, right. A Danish researcher analyzing rock formations from Greenland said he has found chemical evidence that suggests the presence of life 3.7 billion years ago, about 200 million years before the earliest known fossils. So there you have it. They keep finding more and more, and more and more is older and older and older. As I read to Linda Moltenhau a moment ago, this one should really cause you to sit up and take notice. This is from the Associated Press, not the Art Bell file of weirdness, the AP's file of weirdness. Breaking news, dying blackbirds rain down on North Louisiana town. Rain down. Thousands of blackbirds, thousands, are dying in North Louisiana, and nobody knows why. For the past several weeks, Wanda and Daniel Hudson of Morehouse Parish enjoyed watching tens of thousands of blackbirds flying over their house toward Mer Rouge each morning. Every afternoon, they watched them fly back nice, right? Then Monday, for some reason, the blackbirds began dropping from the sky into yards and ditches, where they staggered, faltered, some making their way out to the highway. The dead and dying birds have been littering their yard and, check this, a 5-mile stretch of nearby homes and highways ever since. A Mrs. Hudson said, they're coming into our yard and dying. It takes them a while to die. It's a slow and painful death. Department of Wildlife has no idea why this is occurring. So I thought you should hear that. And by the way, confirming absolutely for you now, citing the year 2000 computer problem, Prodigy Communications Corporation is telling its 208,000 subs it is going to shut down its pioneer Prodigy Classic online service. Notified all its customers by email late Friday, it could not avoid the effects of the so-called Y2K problem, and by October, they're going to simply shut it down. Holy smokes. That's absolutely astounding. So I guess there is simply too much code for them to financially even think of tackling, so they're going to close the entire service down. Here's one for you. Balls of a black-like tar substance, this is Associated Press too, are washing up on two popular Puerto Rican tourist beaches, according to the Coast Guard. The balls about... What the hell's going on in our world? The balls about 2 to 6 inches wide began appearing on Isle Verde and Condado beaches in San Juan late Wednesday. Swimmers were coming out of the water with some of the gunk on them. That's Dave Solva from the Coast Guard. Investigators have no idea what it is, what the substance is, or where it came from, and they are warning beachgoers not to touch the balls. What the hell? On Thursday, they dug trenches in the sand to collect balls at high tide, which peaks during the mid-afternoon. Environmentalists said the new balls should wash ashore then. How would they know? What the hell? Balls of something awful washing ashore in Puerto Rico. That's just great. Just great. So, there you've got sort of a little introduction to what's going on in our world right now. Great, huh? Just great. We're about to do the Antichrist line. We'll talk about that in a moment. There are 10 signs that somebody just sent me. 10 signs, mind you, that you've been watching too much football, something hard to even contemplate, you know, since we've got the Super Bowl coming up and since this last weekend was bereft of any football, almost causing life to know it as we know it anyway now to end. Anyway, top 10 signs you've been watching too much football. 10. An optical exam reveals a little tiny Dan Dierdorf etched into your retina. 9. Your grandmother falls down the steps and you yell, "Touchdown!" 8. Hash marks on your butt. 7. You spend all your free time making brownies for John Madden. 6. At dinner, somebody says, "Pass the ham," and you hurl that mother 60 yards. 5. Your wife wins a hand of pinochle, and you dump 40 gallons of Gatorade on her head. 4. While making love to your husband, you stop and call for a measurement. Three. You're hurled from your car after a high-speed collision, and your first thought is, "Oh boy, I'm in a tight spiral." 2. After sex, you spike the pillow. And the number 1 sign you've been watching too much football, Dan Rather announces a meteor is going to strike the Earth, ending all life as we know it, and you murmur, "Please don't let it be Sunday." Such a good mood tonight, and I really am, because of course my ISDN line, my computer is fixed, I got it all done today. That, remember last night I said I'm not even in a good enough mood to bring out my special whacker piece, but tonight I shall. Why not?
Don't wear that fat, whack it with Fat Whacker.
Thought I'd dredge it out, because I am in a pretty good mood. It's all fixed. All right. All right. Here we go. Now, it was, I think, somewhat less than a year ago, maybe around a year, when I decided, on the basis of somebody who called me, that I was going to open the Antichrist line. This is particularly auspicious in view of the fact that, by the way, tomorrow night, Ed Dames, SciTech's major Ed Dames, is going to be here, and Ed Dames, is all by himself on a very remote part of the Hawaiian Islands, remote viewing Satan. He's been doing that now since we last talked. I talked to Ed's wife. She was worried. She said, you should call him. I did. He said, I've got a lot to tell you. He sounded affected. Now, he may be just fine. I don't know. But I'll know tomorrow night, so will you. You may recall in the last program, that's what he was off to do. Anyway, recalling my program about the Antichrist and opening the Antichrist line, which I'm about to do now, I was literally forced into it, not just because of the show I had done, but because Jerry Falwell has actually come out and said the Antichrist is probably alive today. And he went on to say, as a male Jew. Now, I don't know about the male Jew part, but is he alive and here today? Because Falwell says, yes, probably. Because when he appears during the tribulation period, he will be a full-grown counterfeit of Christ. Of course, he'll be Jewish, said Falwell. Of course, he'll pretend to be Christ. And if, in fact, the Lord is coming soon, he'll be an adult at the presentation of himself. He must be alive somewhere today. So we will reach out. Last time I opened the Antichrist line, it was indescribable what happened. I expect that to occur now, particularly with the knowledge that he may well be there. So, I hereby reserve the first-time caller line away. Do not call the first-time caller line unless you, that's right, you claim to be or know yourself to be or imagine yourself to be the Antichrist. Now, I realize there are many who say, Art, there is no such thing, like this person. There is no such thing as an Antichrist. Why do you insist on doing this baloney? Have mercy. There is no such thing. Others, of course, don't feel that way at all. Another fact here is saying few realize how soon the Antichrist will raise himself up. And it goes into quite a bit of detail on the Antichrist. We had a few discussions that actually prompted this in the last couple of days with many of you. People have been calling me and saying, there's no devil, there's no Lucifer, there's no Satan, there's no Antichrist. Where do you get this stuff? There's only God, the Creator. There's none of this negative stuff. Now, these are people who claim they're taking it out of the Bible. Now, I'm not big on reading the Bible, but I do believe the Bible pretty well describes the other side. So, I think there is an Antichrist out there, and I think that we've got the reach to find him. Or her. It could be a female. Now, the Antichrist is going to be one who fools and lies, right? So, who's to say it couldn't be a female? They always say he. Well, might even be a female. So anyway, normally we allow first-time callers in at area code 702-727-1222, but tonight, only those who are the Antichrist. And as a matter of fact, I will accept Antichrist calls on any line. We will have a general open line session tonight. But if you're on that line, you better be claiming to be the Antichrist. Now, there are going to be believable Antichrists. There are going to be unbelievable Antichrists. There are going to be very serious people. There are going to be some angry people. We're going to run into just about every single variety of person you can imagine tonight, if you really want to call them people. So sometimes, you know, when something really serious is happening, it helps to laugh a little bit about it, and you may laugh a little bit about this, or maybe you won't. Because maybe as Jerry Falwell, you believe that, in fact, the Antichrist may, in fact, be alive, walking about the streets of America, Canada, who knows where, walking the streets now. And if the return of Christ is within 10 years, then we would have to imagine the Antichrist could be in his 20s, could be in his 30s, I don't know. But Falwell says he's out there, and if he's out there, I'm going to try to find him. Or her. So you've got it. Open line session plus Antichrist line only. Don't disappoint me with this now. If I pick up that line, you better be the Antichrist. Area code 702-727-1222. In the meantime, it's open lines. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Am I on the air?
You are on the air, yes.
Okay.
Well, you're going to have to yell at us a little, though. You're not very loud.
Okay. I just was taken aback slightly. Yeah, I'm calling from West Virginia through WRVA in Richmond.
Yes, sir.
I've kind of got the feeling that whatever Ed Dames is going to view, and this is my personal opinion, that it's going to somehow line up with what Zachariah Sitchin, claims in his books about the 12th planet and all that.
Why would Satan have anything to do with the Anunnaki and the 12th planet and all that? Why would?
Well, I haven't read totally all of what Zachariah Sitchin says, but it's got something to do with God and Satan and the war in heaven and so on. But I really don't think the Antichrist.
You don't think Falwell knows what he's talking about?
Well, I come from a conservative background like he preaches, but...
Can you honestly say you have never walked down the street and found yourself walking by somebody who seemed like evil personified? I mean, just absolutely evil?
There are people like
yeah,
that.
Haven't you ever felt that? It's like you can almost feel a little chill go down your spine when you're in their presence. You know it. You feel it.
Yeah, but I think they're under the influence of evil spirits. I don't think that they themselves.
But see, that's kind of a judgment call, though, isn't it?
Well, it could be, or it could be kind of a you see somebody and you see how you get a sense of.
I'll tell you what you do, sir. You go up to my website and you look at the 33 evil eyes, and if you can still come back and tell me you don't think there's real evil out there, then we'll talk. So, there you've got it laid out for you tonight, folks. The Antichrist line and open lines throughout the night. Tomorrow night, Major Ed Dames and the results of the remote viewing of Satan. Better Ed than Art. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning. Is this guy talented or what? He uses the old-fashioned method, just like I do, but he's better. Oh, my. He did just the right ones, too. Welcome, everybody. It's Antichrist Line Night. Now, I'm going to say this one more time so there can be no mistake about it. If I pick up that first-time caller line, you had better be the Antichrist, or claiming to be. Because Jerry Falwell says you're out there. Here from, I think, New York City is our first Antichrist candidate. Not surprised you'd be in New York City. You probably even know Curtis Sliwa.
I listen to him very much.
I knew it. It figures.
I met him once in a restaurant.
That figures, too. And it was probably a clandestine meeting of some kind.
Just chance meeting, but we were there together.
Yeah. Well, you believe yourself to be the real Antichrist?
Yes.
Why?
My philosophy, my observation of our intelligence, how we change ourselves and become machines, and then even greater than machines, which I write about on the Internet in the news group.
Oh, so you write about all this?
Oh, yes. I got stocks and stocks of this stuff. I got articles on alternate society futures.
When did you first realize that you might be indeed the Antichrist?
Well, I kind of grew a suspicion maybe 20 years ago because of my activities, or maybe 25 years before. But then when I was born June 6th, and I sent my mother a letter just out of curiosity.
How old are you now?
I know, about 60.
You're 60?
Yeah.
Get a little long in the tooth there, aren't you? I mean, you've got to be careful if you're going to do what the Antichrist is supposed to do while here on Earth. Well, you better make hay.
Well, no, my writing, follows me. My philosophy follows me. My observations and so on and so forth. But I just out of curiosity, I was almost afraid to send a letter, and I sent the letter to my mother, and I asked her in a letter, you remember when I was born?
No. Uh-huh.
And I was almost afraid that, to open the letter, hoping, she said 9 o'clock in the morning or midnight or something like that. And when she said dawn.
Dawn?
I said, oh boy, there's the other six.
I saw dusk to dawn.
666.
666. Oh. Oh, my.
The month, the day, and the hour.
And what, what are your plans? I mean, as the Antichrist, do you know what you plan to do? Do you have all this laid out in your mind, other than what you write on the Internet?
Well, what I write on the Internet will eventually replace Christianity and all the other religions' philosophy.
It will.
Yeah, because my philosophy is that...
it's that powerful. In other words, when people read it, they just take whatever faith they have and they cast it out.
Well, the philosophy itself does nothing. The philosophy only explains what happens, what comes. It's like, it's like prophecy.
I know, but it must cause them to change.
Me and I both. So nobody can really blame me for what happens. I'm only a messenger. But because I'm a messenger and it changes Christianity, they will tag on me, that I'm the Antichrist.
Because
I really have no desire to be an Antichrist or just, destroy the religions and so on and so forth, but there's just no other
way. You have no desire to do it, but in other words, this is your lot in life, like it or not.
Is what?
Your lot in life.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it or not.
I can't suppress this. Like Darwin couldn't suppress his theory either.
I understand. All right, well, I thank you. I appreciate you as a first... as a first entrant, and I'm not surprised, number one, that you live in New York City, and number two, that you are at least a passing acquaintance of Curtis Sliwa's. Not surprised at all. In fact, I expected to hear that early on, and boom, there it is. All right, let's go elsewhere. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how's it going?
Oh, it's going all right.
Great. This is Judge Cal calling from New York City.
Another New York City call.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a couple topics I want to touch on briefly. First off, I was reading in the news wires that the birds died of botulism. A vet did an autopsy, and apparently it was botulism.
Botulism. Yes. Botulism. Wait, but thousands of them? I mean,
they're all eating the same food source.
Yeah.
Another thing was the Prodigy thing. I don't know if you're aware, but a couple years ago when AOL just took off,
yep.
Prodigy just basically went in the toilet, right?
Sure.
So, a company called Mexican Wireless came and bought them. I'm a third-party contractor for Prodigy, by the way.
Right.
so I'm familiar with their infrastructure.
You know, the whole story, it's not necessarily that we understand the whole story. I mean,
Well, basically what was going on is they liquidated about two-thirds of their staff over
right.
the past 2 years.
Right.
And they're going out of business, basically looking to, you know, slash and burn kind of thing. So why not, instead of trying to save a dying business, just do an insurance claim and claim Y2K?
Well, that's conjecture on your part, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I've been to their facilities, and all of their stuff is totally antiquated and old. Because
you have got to admit, no matter what, that at the very least, it indicates every day now we're getting another one like this. FEMA beginning to warn people to start saving food and that kind of thing. I mean, National Guard units being mobilized to take care of what's going to happen. I mean, there are a lot of hints out there that...
Oh, absolutely. I think, for the most part, the United States will get their end together, but it's going to be the other third world countries that drag the whole worldwide economy down because they're going to fail because they don't have the resources that the United States does.
How does it feel to know you've got the Antichrist with you right there in New York City?
Well, I have my doubts about that. First off,
June 6th, huh?
Dawn does not occur at 6 a.m. It occurs much earlier. In the summer.
That might depend.
Well, yeah, I guess it would depend where you were at.
Where you are, yeah.
Offhand, do you know any exactly correct predictions of Major Ed Dames? Because I was on his site looking at, through his track record.
Oh, yes, absolutely I do. Oh, you bet I do. Yes, I do. Listen on the radio. I have yet to see one fail. Now, people would say, well, what about the thing he said, the canister that was coming down over Africa? Well, that has not yet manifested itself, or has it, depending on the headline you read. But sure, listen years ahead of the beginning of the death of frogs, Ed Dames predicted that the first sign that you would see of the coming serious changes would be the frogs. The frogs would begin to die, he said. And they did. And there were many more. Oh, yes, Ed Dames said many things that have already manifested themselves. And I have any number of private communications that confirm that he has found lost or unfortunately dead children and that sort of thing. Dated. I've got all that. There's a lot, sure. Now, what's going to happen tomorrow night with regard to Satan? I don't know. Remote viewing Satan. I sort of urged him not to do that, but he's off and running. On our Antichrist line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
All right.
You realize what line you're on here, don't you?
I realize exactly what line I'm on.
All right. Is it you?
That's me.
No.
I just want to make sure that the fact that I've yet to enter the media it seems strange that this will be my first media entrance.
You know what I think I want to know first of all?
What do you want to know?
I want to know what you think of Jerry, the Reverend Jerry Falwell, announcing to the world that you're alive now.
Well, I'm not Jewish.
So he was wrong.
Well, obviously.
Not Jewish, but you are the Antichrist.
That is me.
Now, how did you come to know who you are?
Well, it's like, how can I explain? It's like when you're born, you don't know who you are. I didn't know who I was until I was about 3 years old. And then
you knew at three?
Yeah.
What tipped you off?
What tipped me off?
Yes.
Was, it's sort of like a consciousness that you just know. It's like how do you ride a bike, right? Or how do you learn how to
Did you like break the legs of a babysitter or something early on?
No, it's nothing like that. I mean, being the Antichrist is all about making sure that people are occupied. occupied. Making sure that people are distracted.
Distracted.
I mean, it's like
keeping them from consideration of spiritual
matters. Well, it's like you are. You know, you've got things at home that I know occupy your mind right now. It's like a Greenpeace person, for example. Let's take someone that's out there saving the whales or saving the forest or worrying about nuclear disaster or worrying about this or worrying about that.
Yes.
People are constantly worried about something and they want to participate. And that's exactly where they go wrong is while they're out saving the whale, they've got a baby crying at home or their aunt slipped on the steps and fell downstairs. And they don't realize that paying attention to what's directly around you.
So in other words, then you, the Antichrist, has actually been in the process of taking normal people who should be paying attention to normal things and turn them into tree huggers.
Well, not tree huggers. It's not tree. It's like the most important thing in your life right now, Art, is your radio show, and you spend more time on your radio show than you spend time in your actual life.
I want to know right now whether you've had anything to do with my recent computer problems, severe computer problems.
Your recent computer problems. Well, again, the computers are just another aspect of occupation.
Of course they are.
The housewife, for example, spends as much time doing housework as she did 100 years ago. Nothing has changed. It's all the same. The only thing that has changed is the amount of time that people spend thinking about things that have absolutely nothing to do with nothing.
That's your mission in life. In other words, these eventually will be your subjects.
Well, it's not subjects. I have no ability to follow. For people to follow me, people will just eventually fall apart. I heard a couple nights on your show, some lady called in and said people are walking around like zombies.
That's right.
And that's reality for him. I mean, Art, it's so easy another guy called in the other night and talking to America, right?
It's obvious. It's obvious to me the Antichrist listens to my program.
Oh, the Antichrist listens to all programs at the same time.
Really? Really?
Really.
Even like Jim Bohannon?
You name it.
Don Imus?
You name it.
Howard Stern?
Howard Stern's sort of annoying.
Even the Antichrist, huh?
Don't you think so?
Howard's all right.
I mean, you know, you got it.
You got it, small doses.
You know, it's scary. It's scary.
I guess I'm going to ask you, like the last call, you don't know Curtis Sliwa, do you?
Pardon me?
Never mind. Anyway, let's get back to what's important.
Okay.
When will things begin to really take off in terms of the unfolding of what lies directly ahead?
Here's what's going to happen, okay?
Okay.
In about a year's time, okay, and it's actually after the millennium, I'd say March, what's going to happen is there's going to be a huge wall built. It's going to be built something like the Great Wall of China. It's going to be built by people that are excited about building it. They're going to be very interested in building it. It's going to become something very superficial, yet at the same time extremely important to people. It's going to be like, how can I explain?
Can you explain what the purpose of the wall will be?
Well, it's going to hold everyone in the world.
You mean like a gigantic concentration camp?
Exactly. But it's not a concentration camp.
Oh, my.
Now, this is the weird part, Art, is that everyone's going to be drugged. Okay, they're going to be...
How will that be substantially different than the situation we have now?
Well, the difference... I mean, how will it be substantially different? Just imagine right now, Art, if you were teleported to the insides of a wall where you couldn't stand more than 3 feet from one person, okay? Imagine yourself being, or not even 3 feet, 1 feet, 1 foot, okay?
In other words, no elbow room whatsoever.
Well, yeah, you're just standing there, right?
Oh, my God.
Okay,
that,
now,
that
imagine
would be hell.
You wake up.
That'd be hell.
Wait, you wake up, and you look around, and there's 6 billion people standing 1 foot from each other.
That's hell.
No, but it's not hell, because the person that's talking to you is talking in a reasonable manner.
I don't care. If there's 6 billion of them and they're not more than a foot apart, that's hell.
No, but it's not hell. I mean, have you ever been in a shopping mall?
Yes. And it's slightly hellish every time I
well,
go.
Well, slightly hellish, but your mind can handle it, Art.
I don't like that many people around at any given time.
But your
time.
Mind can handle it. You're going to be able to handle it.
Well, I intend... Really? Okay.
Okay.
So I'll handle it. So you'll wall me in, and I'll thank you.
Well, you'll not thank me. You'll just be standing there, sort of... You'll be definitely freaked out, but your mind will be able to handle it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I'll remain sane, you're saying.
No, yeah, well, I mean, you will. You know, you've got enough intelligence in you to remain sane at that point. I'm not saying that things wouldn't be surreal. I'm not saying things wouldn't be crazy at that point. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is that you'd be able to maintain some sort of slight composure because it would be so freaky waking up from this, okay?
Yes, and then?
Now... At this point, and this is the part I can't tell you, is you're going to be asked one question.
Okay? One question. And how I answer that depends on...
That's it.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you where the wall will be, too.
Where?
It will be... Well, the end of the wall... will be less than 100 kilometers from you.
From where I am now?
Yes.
All right. Well, you certainly have started me out well on my Antichrist line, and I guess you've told me basically what you're able to tell me, so I'll say thank you. I think one question. What would be the one question that would decide my fate? I might... rather make a deal.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming
across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle.
I thought that I was in heaven, but I was sure surprised. Heaven help me, I did.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 28th, 1999.
Like an angel. I'm told that that's exactly how the Antichrist will come. Seeming just like an angel in every way except, you know. So anyway, we've got a line laid back for the... the apparently large group out there who feel they are the Antichrist. And there are quite a few. So we'll get back to that and open lines all night long in a moment. Tomorrow night at Dames, as I told you. And I really think you ought not miss tomorrow night's show. Let me tell you why. When I talked to Ed, he sounded... not exactly like Ed. I mean, I sort of formed a mental picture of Ed with about 5 days' growth of beard on and kind of ragged and just not himself. Ed, you can listen to him, you can see him, he's impeccably dressed, he speaks elegantly, and he sounded like the life had been sucked right out of him. Well, tomorrow night we're going to find out what actually happened.
the Reverend Falwell says of the Antichrist, this is a quote, quote, if he's going to be the counterfeit of God, he has to be Jewish, Falwell said. Continuing the quote, the only thing we know is he must be male and Jewish. End quote. And on the Antichrist line, you are on the air. Hello.
Well, first of all, Arthur, I'd like to make a distinction. You mentioned that there are many, and yes, that's true. There are many on your lines tonight who think that they are, but I also would like to add that there are supposedly, you know, many who are the true thing, too. So, as Nostradamus predicted, Adolf Hitler as being one, and Hitler believed in mysticism and believed in that prediction so much that before he marched on France, he dropped pamphlets over that country with Nostradamus' predictions.
Well, despite my nervous little chuckles and fun-making of this whole thing, the fact of the matter is, my view is not shared by many. My view is that if there is God, if there is the Creator, if there is the God of the Bible, then there is evil as well as a force. And are is that what you are?
Am I evil?
Yes. As a force?
Well, first of all, let me say that I don't believe evil exists. I believe that what we're talking about tonight, the supposed Antichrist, this beast has the potential to be evil, but an earthly evil. There is only earthly evil. There is no spiritual evil.
But you talk about it as though it's in the third person. And you, I asked you, are you an Antichrist? Are there many?
There are many. And if you listen to the Bible, it says that there will be a war. After a few of them supposedly surface, there will be a war where they fight each other. Now, this is going to be a unique take on this, Arthur, because as you probably know, or maybe you don't know, but I'd like to inform you that this isn't a choice that they were given, or at least in my particular case. I mean, I was never asked that. You know, do you want to do this? I was only, I believe, and this, you know, this is my own personal belief, that I was given a vision that recently came to fruition, that I believe that I have that potential, you see. And even Nostradamus said that these things are all subject to change. So I know what I was capable of doing, but I'm going to pull myself out of it because of the just huge ramifications of what could possibly happen.
The real Antichrist would not pull himself out of it. The real Antichrist would have a mission.
Let me just prove a small parlor game to you right now, just to kind of wet me.
Humor me.
Yes. This, or these so-called people of, I don't even like using that term, believe it or not, but these people of which we speak are not superhuman. They are mortal human beings. They only have superior intuitive capabilities, and I'll prove that to you now. I'm going to ask you a question, Arthur, and you're going to be able to answer it for me. How old am I, Arthur?
37.
Close. Very close. I'm 36. What made you say 37? I'm very taken back by that.
Are you really?
Well, what do you mean? You said the Antichrist will be someone with special intuitive powers.
Yes.
So what do you expect?
Okay. Also, I'd just like to say that I am in the
media. I think I'm scaring my caller more than my caller scaring me.
Well, you're just playing around with me. You're being a little butthead is what you're being, Arthur.
Yeah, but the Antichrist, you see, he'd be a butthead.
Yes, he would, and that's exactly where I'm coming from, believe it or not. I'm an easygoing, you know, as, like I said, Arthur, I'm making inroads into the media. I just, this year, and wouldn't you imagine it would be this year, that I have made a national television debut.
You?
I have. Huh?
You have?
Yes.
You have?
Yes, I was on national television within the last few weeks.
Well, now that does figure. The Antichrist would definitely be on TV.
And, okay, and I've also had a radio show.
Figures.
And I will be continuing to go into that, and I'm also an entertainer of sorts.
Of course you are.
And here's a couple things. Arthur, I believe that this person had the ability to cause, like, massive destruction, you know, to the world, basically. And I feel that at one point in my life I was capable of that. But now, I know I couldn't. I couldn't hurt innocent people.
Not even a fly, huh?
Well, I could do a fly.
You can do a fly.
I don't like insects.
All right, Antichrist, goodbye. I don't know what to make of you. I don't think this is one of those things where, you know, you have like a phase that you go through, an Antichrist phase. I don't think that's the way it works. Now, I'm not an expert on the Antichrist, but I don't think that's the way it works. It's like you have a phase and you're capable of perhaps being the Antichrist and doing tremendous evil like Hitler, and then you get out of that phase and you're okay again. I don't know if I buy that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Dustin from Lubbock, Texas.
Yes.
And one thing, if you could, when that Dane comes on,
yes.
Could you ask him, is there any way, you know, if he's, has he, like, done the God thing? Has he checked in on God?
We've already talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
He viewed the Christ, the Christ figure. He viewed Christ.
Really?
Remote view. Really?
You've got to
listen more. So the answer is yes, he's done the God thing. It's not that he's doing now. On my international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there, Art. This is Cal. I'm calling in from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yes.
All right.
I have a couple comments. The first is an excellent guest on Tuesday night, Pat Moody.
Oh, yes.
He's quite an inspiration. Couple of things you may not know about him. He has a grade 6 education, and he is legally blind, which makes his accomplishments all the more astounding.
That's absolutely astounding.
Yeah.
That is astounding.
Yeah.
And he's legally blind on top of all that. Oh, my.
Right.
All right. Anything else?
Oh, yes. I have a slant on the Y2K theory.
And it is?
Well, there's an author, John Lilly. He has the view that within the universe there's two opposing forces, organic consciousness and solid state. An analogy would be we're organic and computers are solid state. Now, computers will eventually evolve, and in order to survive, if they have a survival mechanism, they'll have to push things out of the way, such as...
people.
Pardon me?
People.
Yeah, people, salt water, that bad corrupt...
That's correct.
Right.
I mean, computers would not like salt water. Now, that's interesting. To consider what a computer... That has acquired intelligence, self-awareness, consciousness, what it would do to protect its continued existence. One of the things that would get in the way of a computer of that sort would be a human being who could go over to the wall and pull the plug. So human beings would definitely be in the way. Salt water... secondary, but still a problem. On my Antichrist line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. First-time listener, really. My brother.
This line is only for people who believe they are the Antichrist.
Oh, no, that is definitely not me.
No?
No way.
Well, then you better get off this line
before you
get tied in with a group of people you don't want to be tied in with.
No way. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to get on that line tonight if it's not you. You know, association.
Greetings.
On my Antichrist line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, greetings. My name is Mike.
Yes, Mike.
I am an Antichrist. I'm not the one, but I know him.
What? Oh, you do?
Yes. His name is... He has dual citizenship.
Is he Jewish?
He's an Ashkenazi Jew.
Is he now?
Yeah, he's black. You wouldn't expect it. He lives in France right now. I'm a Satanist, so I serve him.
You're a Satanist?
Yeah, I am.
You actually serve Hail Satan the whole trip?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah. Otherwise, I'm doing this for nothing. I hope there's a payoff.
Let me hear you say it. I want to hear you say it.
What's that, Hail Satan?
Yep.
Hail Satan, hail me, hail you. Hail's going to hit you in the cornfields and all that.
What the hail?
Yeah, what the... Yeah, his Jewish, he has dual citizenship.
Now I want to be careful here,
okay,
because you know I don't know that I want to give his name, so let's not do that.
Well, in Jewish, it's Joshua.
Is Jerry Falwell right? Is he alive now?
Oh, I hope so. He's in France right now. He works for the UN, but he works. He's in France right now.
When did you last see him?
Oh, 3.5 months ago, I think.
3.5 months ago. So
he thinks I'm a donkey hole in the ground. Like, I don't know if I can say the real word on the air.
No, please don't.
Yeah. So, but I like him. He's a nice guy. He doesn't know who he is yet. That's the signal thing of the Antichrist is.
I'm almost at this point more interested in why you think. I'm sorry. I would offend you. Why you would worship the devil?
Well, I don't worship the devil. I kind of work for him. I'm in his advertising department.
You're in his.
I really do have one of the ball caps with the word Satan on the hit, on the top and all.
Oh
that.
No, I believe you.
You called you on your radio program. You said you wanted to know about him, so I figured I'd call and say hi.
Well.
So in his own language, his name is sort of like I am the one that is, or God is here. How do you do? It doesn't translate well. It's an African language. It's an obscure African dialect. But he has dual citizenship.
Well, you obviously you think a lot of him, but he doesn't think a lot of you. Why?
No.
Why is that?
I couldn't tell you exactly. I think I'm a pretty good guy. So hey, all I know is to be able to stand up and go, hey guys, look, I've got an answer for you. And it's going to be a good answer. It's going to be a smart, sensible answer.
It's going to seem logical.
It's going to seem logical. For instance, one world government, well, when you have a whole bunch of people shooting each other, and the only reason they're shooting each other is because they don't belong to the same group, hey, put them in the same group. They won't shoot each other. Duh. Makes sense to me.
Could have been a blonde joke. Could have been a blonde joke. In other words, eliminate all the countries, all the borders, all the nationalities, religious differences, and nobody's going to hurt anybody, right?
Yeah. It's like the difference between. Now, I thought Clinton was going to be the Antichrist for a while, but he's too stupid. I'm sorry, but Falwell. Was that Falwell?
Jerry Falwell said the Antichrist is alive now.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Now, if Falwell walked up to the Antichrist, he wouldn't know him. It's the difference between that stuff and Shinola. He wouldn't know him if he bit him. So, by the way, the Antichrist's actual name is the Pseudo Christ.
Why?
Antichrist.
Well, okay, fine. Whatever. Semantics
here.
But I want to know, given a choice, given the knowledge that there is a creator, a God,
right,
and there is an equal and maybe not equal, but opposite force, why choose...
Not opposite, complementary.
Complementary.
There is, for instance,
is why you choose to work for the complementary side.
We have man and woman, complementary. We have God, and God sits there. God is the pattern. God is the picture. God is the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is the thing that builds the reality out of the blueprint.
So you choose to be on the side of reality.
The action, the activity, the movement. Yeah. Hey, I like having fun. I don't want to sit here sucking eggs for the rest of the day.
And so after you have done his work, and your life, mortal, is ending,
right,
and you're moving on toward your reward, what do you expect you'll be occupying your time with?
Reward, schmaroard. What is this word reward? Why do people think they're going to get a reward?
I didn't say you'll get a reward. That's metaphorical.
Most Christians think we're going to get a reward or a punishment.
That was metaphorical.
Yeah,
when I said reward, I meant to when you move on to whatever afterlife you're going to, in view of what you worship now, what do you think you're going to be doing?
I'll be picking daisies. I'll probably be picking weeds out in the North 40 of the celestial afterlife. I don't know. Right now, in the here and now, I'm pretty sure that I'm on the right path.
I understand. Lots of rock to you. on the right path, huh? Doing his work. Not him, but him. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello. No, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bell.
That would be me.
Yeah. I've tried to get through to you quite a few times, but never, the first time I ever got through. I've heard you have people, well, like tonight you have your Antichrist line,
yeah,
and you've had on people who are Wiccans and things like that. Have you ever considered putting on anybody that follows the Norse gods?
Is that you?
Well, yeah, I do, yes.
What gods?
The Norse.
Norse
Odin
gods.
And Frigga and Freya and Freyr and Thor and Njordr.
Oh, sure.
A few, yeah.
So do you... wouldn't they be considered false idols?
That is, if you...
False idol thing, you remember that?
That is, if you believe the Christian vernacular, yeah. But then I believe that...
You think the Christians are full of it, and that the real creation force, the real creators, the real power, are the mythical figures like Thor. Of course, I'm sure you would argue with the word mythical.
Yeah, I'd argue with mythical.
Yeah.
Basically, yes.
How do you address them? Do you, in effect, pray to them as the Christians pray to their God?
No, I don't. I really don't, cower down to them or anything. And I hear the music now, so I guess I have to get off the line. But I don't know if you ever considered trying to get hold of anybody that...
I have somebody right now. The first and only person who's ever said that he worships those gods. That's you.
Uh-huh.
Do you do any ceremonies or anything like that?
Yes, I do, yeah.
I sort of thought so. All right.
It's not anything weird or bizarre. It's just...
Sounds pretty weird and bizarre to me, but that's just me. All right, thank you very much for the call. Those gods, remember Thor. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 28th, 1999.
And don't forget, if you are the Antichrist, and even if you're outside the USA, wherever you may be in the world, you can reach us toll free. We wouldn't want to impose a charge on the Antichrist, so we have a toll free line for you. Simply get hold of the AT&T operator. You know all about AT&T, right? Because you're you. And ask her to call 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. In a moment, we'll get back to whatever it is we're doing. Here we go again. On the Antichrist line, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
We've got that out of the way.
How are you?
I'm all right.
How are you?
How am I really?
Really?
I got a little pain in my left knee here and my arm. I don't know. It's like arthritis. It's the humidity. Since you ask.
Stretch it out.
I can barely hear you there, Mr. Antichrist. You're going to have to speak up. Project.
Okay.
That's better.
I am here. We are here.
We.
The world is here.
We. You mean there are many?
We.
Many like you?
I don't know. I am only that of myself. That is all that I know.
And so how do you know who the hell you are, then? Heck, you are.
Oh, I know who I am.
How?
How do I know?
How do you know?
Oh, I've cried for hours and days and months and years.
Cried?
I've cried. I've poured out tears.
You're sad because of who you are.
I am not.
You don't want to be who you are. Is that right?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm very content in that I am, that I am.
That you are, that you are. Well, you've got your radio. Even Antichrist with the radios on don't get to stay on the air. There's a lesson in that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello. It is a treat to finally reach you.
Yes, you have. Where are you?
I am in Tennessee, calling from WTN 99.7 out of Nashville.
Nobody knows it, but I was, about a month ago, I was in Nashville. I snuck in and snuck out.
I don't see how you did it.
I did it.
Well, you are very, very lucky then, because you've been mobbed by the people here. We listen all the time.
I know. I disguised myself.
Well, very good for you. I was in one of your chat rooms, or one of the chat rooms titled with your name earlier this evening.
A chat room that carries my name?
Oh, there's, let's see, I think there were seven of them.
Seven chat rooms?
On the IRC channel.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, couldn't find a decent conversation there.
Those IRC people are pretty weird.
Yes, they are. well, I did. I asked a question, though, because I was trying to stimulate some minds, which... maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
What did you ask?
I asked, what do you think the Antichrist is? A person, an energy, an entity, or a concept?
You went into a chat room to ask that question?
Into an Art Bell chat room to ask that question, because that's what was coming up.
I see. So let's hear it. What kind of feedback did you get?
Well, one person said it was a person. One person said it was a concept. One said an energy. Two said a myth. One said an entity. One said antimatter.
I think it's a boss I used to have.
That's one said that, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I just didn't write that down. Maybe that was you that said that. Anyway, one said it was advertising, and the last person said it was Visa.
Visa?
Visa.
You mean like... Visa and MasterCard?
Yeah, like Visa and MasterCard.
Well, if Visa, then how come not MasterCard?
I don't know.
What about
Visa
Discover?
Carries,
I mean,
wait,
Discover.
I know. American Express. You know,
that's right.
They left all those. Even the Sears or the Penny's card.
I mean, American Express is the one that tells you don't leave home without it.
That's
like,
right.
You know, what can happen?
Well, you could meet the Antichrist on the road and have the wrong card.
So why Visa?
I don't know. Well, one guy did say that it was Ed who lives in a jar on the shelf.
Because you can buy... You can buy lager beer in hell, but not with MasterCard.
Yeah, you've got to have Visa. So I thought that was quite interesting. We love your show. We listen to you all the time. And I'm Emily, so hope to talk to you again. I'll get off the phone and let somebody else
Thank
talk.
You, Emily.
Okay, night.
Take care. On my Antichrist line, you are up next. Batter up. Turn your radio down, Antichrist.
Oh, this is the Antichrist line.
Yes, you mean you're not an Antichrist?
Hell no, but I can tell you who it is.
Well, forget it. You know what? You're even being on this line right now endangers you in every way you can imagine. If I were you, I would hang up forthwith.
Okay.
This is for Antichrist only.
Okay.
All right?
All righty.
Yeah, good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
Yes, it is.
Well, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a while. I'd like to tell you that all the individuals out there are just followers. I am the real McCoy.
You are? And you're on my East of the Rockies line.
I don't want to disclose my location.
That's
quite.
Perfectly all right. I can tell already you're from somewhere in the Mid-South.
I will put it this way. I'm the 32nd parallel of the Middle East. But I am in the U.S. That is my destination.
And your mission, no doubt.
My mission is to destroy individuals who consider themselves Christians.
And have you been doing that?
Sir?
Have you been doing that?
I'm an individual who is probably an eccentric individual who is different, but I have a power of faith and knowledge in the paranormal for many years. Many people who don't have the faith cannot consider themselves to be Christians.
You know, It does sound to me like you're somewhere in the Bible Belt. Now, can that be an altogether safe place for somebody like yourself?
You're probably right. I've mingled with many Baptists, Christians, and I find they're shallow in their beliefs. Of course, I'm an individual. I will say that I'm the only one that wears the new cross.
The new cross. And the new cross is what?
The new cross is a different cross from Christianity.
Describe it to me.
I don't want to give it away, but it is a figure which has a double leg.
Say that again, please. It's a figure that what?
It's a symbol that has a double leg.
A double leg.
Yes, sir. And I must say that I won't disclose the numbers of the 666, but the first six is to empower all men above the five senses of knowledge to the sixth sense.
Yeah. And what will you ultimately do?
Ultimately, I want to raise all men to purify their souls to a higher gesture of peace and unity, to unite all men and rid them of their negativity and self-centeredness.
Yes, we've been told actually that the Antichrist would say stuff just like this.
Well, sir, I got to say this, that my destiny goes way back at birth when I was born here on this earth.
First of all, I don't like the Antichrist calling me sir.
What would you like to be called?
I don't care, but don't call me sir. I'm not any superior of the Antichrist's.
Okay, I'll call you Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
But going back to my early birth, I was born here and had the knowledge through my soul to know that this was an evil, self-centered place.
Well, then I guess you just fit right in.
And so, well, I never fit in, sir. Excuse me, Mr. Bell, because I found out Christians were very, very evil in their ways. It basically all over the world, including the U.S.
You know, you're really right about that. There's a lot of evil Christians. If you look across America today, basically, Christian, more than not, there's a lot of evil. So there's got to be a lot of evil Christians.
Well, it kind of goes with the mark of the beast and the human, entwined in their brain.
In their buying?
Sir?
You said they're buying, right?
No, entwined into their brain.
You mean, is that Southern slang for being, or are you talking about buying?
Like, bind. It's binded into their brain.
Oh, bound. You might have
bound.
Bound. There you go.
More or less, like you have the inner brain that you connect or disconnect with, and then there's the outer brain that most humans can't tap into.
Well, when you approach these Christians to strip their faith, don't they get angry?
Oh, sure they do. Sure they do. But I just listen to them when I go into their churches and just listen how ignorant they are. I had one Christian, he was poking fun at me, and they, of course they all had this egotistic way of themselves.
You know, you sound a little like Merle Haggard.
Merle Haggard.
No, huh? Alright, well I appreciate your call. There's another candidate. You all gonna have to make up your own minds about what we've got here. On my almost a full moon, by the way, on my Antichrist line, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening. Turn your radio off.
It's off, Art.
That's good.
So how are you this evening?
Well, I'm still deciding. Are you
about?
Are you the Antichrist?
Oh, yes, I'm the Antichrist.
Oh, yes, you are, huh? How do you know that, to be sure?
How do I know this?
Yes. Mm.
I know this from many factors that have happened to me during my life.
Like what?
I was born 6/13/62. I was 13 on Friday the 13th. In my early childhood, I was burdened with horrible nightmares of the earth being consumed by fire and by evil. Many factors contributed to this evil. Our mass communication systems, governments, and the decadent heart of man.
The decadent heart of man. Something you no doubt encourage.
Most definitely. during this time in my development, I resisted going down many alternate paths.
Are you afraid of Jerry Falwell?
Jerry Falwell,
take that as a no,
is a pawn.
But a pawn,
in the grand scheme.
Yeah, well, then how come he knew you were already alive?
Jerry Falwell will soon understand why he exists.
Now, there's an interesting statement. Jerry Falwell will soon understand why he exists. Why don't you clue us in?
Jerry Falwell exists to give the world a outlet to try to understand.
You just called him Falwell. Was that a little slip there? Anyway.
No, I'm sorry, Art. I did call him Falwell. And the bottom line is that he is paving the way for the insidious usurp of power.
Jerry Falwell's doing that?
That will take place.
He's not going to like this one bit.
Attains his true and final resting place, which is the throne of the earth.
So the beast will take his place on the throne, and Jerry Falwell will have something to do with that, you're saying?
Because the beast will prove his inadequacies as a man of God, and many will come then to the true religion. The religion that will be given to the earth.
And that is?
Time.
And that is?
As you know, in the Old Testament, in Hebrew law, many things were changed when Jesus Christ came onto the earth. And that's why he was crucified, because of the confusion of the Jewish faith in regards to his message.
Are you a Jew?
The new message that will be given to the earth will also be a deviation. But the excuse that will be given will be that the end times need desperate measures, such as the commandments will be changed from 10 to 9.
There is going to be a commandment rescinded? Now, is this something that is this going to be something the president is going to sign, a directive, or what?
May I explain?
Yes, please.
This has nothing to do with worldly government.
I see.
This is going to be a religion.
There are a lot of people out there who think that our president might rescind one of the commandments, or possibly already has in secret.
The U.S. government and the governments of the world have paved the way for ultimate evil for many centuries. The advancement of mass communication.
You're saying the United States government, which is thought worldwide to be the leader in morality, ethics, constitutional principles, human rights, that government, you're talking about our government, is leading the way with evil? In what way?
Art, you've answered your own question on many shows and over many nights. You know what
you're doing. Don't throw my own shows up in my face. You're throwing my shows in my face.
And you know that the ultimate goal for the United States is not for the welfare of mankind. And I take you back to your asking me about the doctrine. This will happen because the world is crying out for answers now. As you know, there is a massive need of the human being to find the true religion. The Christian Coalition, the Catholic Church, many other denominations around the world are seeking for the answers of the end time. The scare of the millennium approaches. People want to believe that Christ is coming again. That will be paved by world chaos that is being fomented by the governments of the world.
All right, I think I've got it. Thank you. You sounded pretty serious. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello there.
I know that I'm not on the Antichrist line. I have an insight into who the Antichrist is, though.
Well, all right. Well, you're just on a normal line, so
yes.
I mean, don't name anybody that's going to get me in trouble.
No, there's no name. I believe it'll be the first artificial intelligence.
You mean the first computer that says, howdy?
Yes.
I feel fine. How are you?
Uh-huh, and it'll be a computer-generated vision or image. No one will realize it's not real, and naturally he'll solve a lot of immense problems.
Well, you know, I've got it all worked out. You may be exactly right. I mean, I have actually considered what you were saying, the Antichrist.
Right.
Will be a computer.
Right.
But, you know, we've got the edge. You know why?
We can pull the plug?
Huh. No, power spikes. power spikes.
Your own power spikes.
Take them right out.
But look, Art, it all ties into the www equals 666.
That's right, the Internet.
Yeah.
I know, that's what people say. It's true, it's what they say.
Hey, before I leave you, Art, think about having an Anunnaki line sometime.
An Anunnaki line?
Right.
How could we do that? Because if what Zachariah Sitchin and others say is true, we're all descendants of the Anunnaki.
Right.
Now, are you referring to just the Anunnaki, that the pure Anunnaki that are
right.
here observing us now?
Exactly.
Perhaps shaping the direction that we're going in?
Exactly. Or they'd have to call long distance, way long distance.
Well, if they're here shaping what's going on, then how come things are so screwed up?
Consider the source is all I could say.
Consider the source?
Uh-huh. These people are trying to put gold in their atmosphere to keep their planet from freezing?
So Zachariah says, yes.
Yeah. Well, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. It was nice talking to you. Art, have a good evening.
You too, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Should we do that sometime? Should we have an Anunnaki line? A lot of people think they're the ones that put us into slavery, you know. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 28th, 1999. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
By the way, with regard to Millennium, my appearance on Millennium, I did hear a pretty positive thing. Millennium, in the last episode, was up a full SharePoint. Yeah, that's right. I get inside info. Up a full SharePoint. Get a pen, get some paper, because I don't know about you, but I'm listening very carefully to all this Y2K stuff. This is very serious for a moment here. I really have been listening and reading and monitoring. Prodigy's service is going off because of Y2K. They can't even afford to fix it, so they're actually going to just drop a part of the service. I'm telling you, I'm beginning to get convinced that there is going to be disruption. I don't know how much yet. I really don't, but I'm... How many of you are monitoring the National Guard preparations that are going on in various states more and more every day? You hear about more and more every day. Card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, Art?
I'm fine.
My name is Ethan. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Austin, yes, Ethan.
Yeah, and we really enjoy your show out here. My wife and I like to listen to you at night. Just wanted to, actually, I know you're kind of interested in Nikola Tesla.
I am.
And I have a couple of URLs. One of them's like...
No. No URLs on the air. Don't give them on
the air. Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
No, we don't do that. We send somebody ostensibly in search of Nikola Tesla, and they find Marilyn does them all.
Well, if you're interested for your own use anyways,
yeah.
I wouldn't mind giving them to you. I think you might find some pretty interesting information.
Well, you'll have to find another way to get them to me.
I'll shoot you an email or something probably to your site.
Yeah, that's what to do. That's what to do. I mean, you've just got to understand that we get fooled from time
to time. Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure people try and call in and advertise and things like that. If I could, I just want to give a quick shout-out to a couple of my friends who also listen to the show. Haystacks and
who,
Scott.
Wait a minute. I missed the name. Who?
Haystacks Calhoun Jr. in Florida and Scotto up in Michigan. And they are both listening to you right now, I believe. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope they're surviving the experience and the exposure. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
Pretty well.
First-time caller.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
KPNW.
Of course.
Anyway, you don't know how many times I've tried to call your show to get on.
How many times?
I can't count that high. I'm a product of public schools. Anyway, it's amazing to talk to you.
Well, not so far.
And I've always loved your show.
Thank you.
And anyway,
I've always wanted to ask, why do you like it? What is my what is it you like about my program?
Like, I mean, I love the shows about Bigfoot, you know, stuff like that. You know, like. I'm into cryptozoology, so I love stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So I love listening.
All right.
Anyway, I'm just embarrassed as crazy because I got on your show. I've been calling you like forever. So anyway, I love your show.
Have you seen a Bigfoot?
No, but I do believe in them.
Would you want to see a Bigfoot?
It would scare the hell out of me. But I would probably, I don't know.
I mean, like, just be walking through the woods and... You go by a tree, and there's the Bigfoot about 2 feet away from you.
Well, I'd probably have to be changing my drawers without being rude.
No, I understand. Believe me, I understand. About 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
Hair.
Yeah.
Probably as unhappy to see you as you are to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would definitely be nerve-wracking. Anyway, I was going to give you a bunch of mumbo-jumbo about being the anti-Elvis, but I think I'm on the wrong line.
Anti-Elvis?
Yeah.
You can't be anti-Elvis.
No, I'm the anti-Elvis.
No, there can't be an anti-Elvis.
I know, I'm just kidding. Anyway, can I say hi to somebody real quick?
You're not. Quick. You know,
hi,
you're
Mark,
really not
going?
Supposed to do that. Who?
Hi, Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, see, you're not okay, well, Mark's got it now, thank you. You're not supposed to do that. I don't know where I heard that either, that you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to say hi to people on the radio. Isn't that a violation of something? I don't know. I forget. On the international line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Art.
Hi. Where are you?
Canada.
Where in Canada?
Manitoba.
Manitoba?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I think I would make a very, very good antichrist.
Why?
Why?
Yes.
Well, with the exception of my family... I hate all of mankind. I really, really do.
Literally everybody?
Generally, scientists are at the top of the list.
You hate scientists?
Yes, I do. I really, really do.
Why?
Mankind is the greediest, the most wasteful, the...
This is beginning to sound like a manifesto.
The most violent...
It is a manifesto.
And the cruelest creature on the face of the earth.
That's what the Unabomber said.
And I really believe we deserve nothing less than
yes.
total extinction.
Really?
I really believe that.
The entire race?
Pardon me?
The entire human race? Extinction?
No quarter. No quarter whatsoever. I mean, just...
What about...
I mean, enough is enough. I'm just saying, if I was...
What about your family?
If I had the opportunity to be an antichrist, I would wreak havoc upon the face of the earth. I mean, it's just...
What would you do? Out of curiosity, let's say that you had the power, and you could wreak this havoc. What would you do?
What would I do?
How would you? Yeah, how would you do it? I mean, earthquakes.
I mean, you name it.
Terrible
hurricanes.
There's
so many things. I mean, a comet big enough to wipe all life off the face of the Earth. An asteroid. I mean, nuclear war. I mean, there's so many.
There's hardly anything you wouldn't do, huh?
No, it's just that. I mean, I've always been a cynic. But and I've just started listening to your show over the course of the last couple of weeks, and I've become a hardcore cynic. I really have.
As well as a hardcore fan, I take it.
Pardon me?
As well as a hardcore fan, I take it.
Well, I mean, some of your nights are a lot better than others. Are a lot better than others.
Kind of the way life is, you know. Some.
You know, I like. You know, I mainly like listening to things that are more down to earth. You know, like shows that represent things that. That can really happen. Like, for instance, you were talking the other night about the Terminator seed.
Yeah. But actually, you know what? When you really get right down to it, there's not a hell of a lot of difference between the concept of the Terminator seed,
mm-hmm.
the concept of poison that kills coming out of contrails, intentionally being spread, and when I open a line for... people who say they're the Antichrist.
No, I didn't say that.
Tell me where.
Hypothetically, if I was given that opportunity to become one, I mean, I don't. I'm not a religious person. I guess it was just my little way of voicing my.
Let me ask you again. I mean, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yes.
Well, first off, I would. I would eliminate all the scientists. I mean, I guess they have given mankind some good, but I feel they've given more bad than good.
You would take out the scientists before the lawyers even.
The scientists are at the top of the list for me.
Huh.
I mean, I'm sure they. I'm not disputing the fact that they've given some good to mankind, but.
Do you realize
But
that,
on the whole, I think they've given more bad to mankind than...
Did you see the story the other day about the man who got the new hand?
No, I didn't.
No, they actually... You know what? He had been missing a hand. He lost his hand in a firecracker accident. And he lost it...
Oh, right. Okay, the transplant.
Like 13 years ago or 15 years ago?
The transplant, yeah.
Yeah. And they gave him a new hand. Well, you know where the hand came from, right?
A cadaver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly so. A cadaver. Mm-hmm. It's not like a liver that you donate or something.
Yeah, okay. You're saying you're pointing out some good. But I'm saying, I mean, look at the evil far outweighs the good.
Well, I'm not sure I just pointed out something good. I pointed out something, I think, fairly controversial. What evil do you see that science has done?
I mean, just look around, Art. I mean, I don't have to go into a big explanation.
Well, give me just one...
That.
One example of an evil thing science has, well...
The A-bomb.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that, damn it.
Okay,
I was about to accept that.
I mean, we could talk for weeks about the evils that...
Well, Tari, give me one example other than the A-bomb.
Pardon me?
Other than the A-bomb, give me one good example.
Military hardware.
Well, you know, there's a number of ways of looking at that, and if we didn't have military hardware, we would
okay,
not...
Okay, here's a prime example. You were talking Tuesday night about the Terminator seed.
Yes.
There's another prime example.
Yeah.
The lengths that they will go to.
Oh, you've got me there.
You know what I mean? It's never, never ending. it's just a very...
So you'd like to see all the world scientists at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean?
At the bottom, or wherever.
Wherever. All right, I think I've got it. Thank you very much. Interesting. Sounds a little like the Unabomber's manifesto. Actually, you know, in some ways, I don't know how many of you read the Unabomber's manifesto. Not a lot of people took the time to read it. But he made a lot of good points. It's just that he punctuated them poorly. In a very antisocial manner. But the manifesto actually reads in a fairly interesting intellectual way. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
You know, I was calling from St. George, Utah.
Oh, yes.
And I can't get through on the West of the Rockies line.
Really?
It's telling me it, you can't get there. You can't call that number from this calling area.
Oh, no. We're trying to get... We thought we had all that straight. So St. George, Utah cannot get through on the west of the Rockies line, huh?
That's what I've been... That's what I've been getting all night long.
What's your area code up there?
435.
435.
Yeah, they just changed ours about a year ago, too.
I know. They're going crackers with this damn area code stuff. I'm going to have a new area code. Actually, I already have one. And soon it will be official, and you'll no longer be able to reach me with the old 702. Our new area code's going to be 775.
Yeah, I tried sending you a fax on that line. In fact, I did on the other night.
There you are. You can actually use it now. They've already activated it.
Hey, you remember that joke you said you couldn't play on the air the other night?
Yes.
Are you going to archive that on your website sometime?
did you hear it?
I did not. I was at work. I couldn't get to a computer.
I see.
You really piqued my interest in that. I'm like, damn, I wish I had a computer handy.
Well, see, during the breaks, I can talk to the internet audience exclusively. And the same laws and stuff don't quite apply when you're just on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a few things that I can do for the internet listeners that I cannot do for the broadcast listeners.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
I wish it wasn't so, but it is. So will I archive it? No.
Oh, damn it.
Thanks for the call. Now, that was a one-time job. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Larry in Fort Lauderdale.
Hello, Larry. How's Fort Lauderdale?
Not cold enough.
Not cold enough?
We love cold weather.
Well, if you love cold weather, what the hell are you doing in Fort Lauderdale?
Well, when you're raised here, you stay here. I wanted to mention a couple things. One,
The grass is always greener. I mean, you've got palm trees. Sunny days.
Living in Disney World down here. All the tourists come and they're all over the place, and it's
rough life, huh?
Yes.
Whereas you could be instead in Detroit, hip deep in snow or something.
Oregon.
Really living, huh? Oregon. Yeah.
Oregon. Think of the global warming. You don't want to be here. Couple things. If your cats. If your kitty cat showing themselves, I think they were afraid they were going to be shot the other night.
Well,
with your
you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to put some sort of... I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to have to keep the door shut.
Well, don't wave the Glock in front of them, because they tend to know what that is. That's an evil, black-looking thing.
Kitty cats, no Glocks?
I think so. I think so. The other thing I wanted to mention was contrails.
Yes.
The other night was a pretty, pretty serious, heavy show when you were talking about that.
I know.
And it seemed like there was no way out. But if you break this down and you look at your show as probably one of the major electronic global campfires, where you literally have a lot of power with your show for people that are in touch with the pilots, the crew members, the people that are loading these planes, and you could use this power by people using the internet, being able to get back to you on the phone or on the internet,
right,
to get to the bottom of some of these things, Freedom of Information Acts and things like that. I don't think they can operate in secrecy when they're going to be right above our heads, you know, putting X patterns in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Very long without telling us.
If you knew how much communication I had after that show, you would be shocked. I mean, you honestly would be shocked.
Well, I hope there's some follow-up to it, and I think that, just demanding from our congressmen, you know, what are they doing? If they're testing the way the winds are going and they think they're dumping something mundane on us, fine, but we want to know about it. And I think that there's enough paper trails out there to where they can hide something that is documented. When you had people calling in from all of the country with their same stories, that tends to certify, you know, what your guest was saying.
I know.
It removes all doubt. But keep up the good work, because, like I said, I think that you're truly the modern global campfire leader in enabling people from all parts of the globe at one time to be able to talk and communicate alternative ideas.
Appreciate the call, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. On the international line, you are on the air. Top of the morning.
Hello, Mr. Bill. It's in Ontario calling.
You're in Ontario?
Yes.
Okay.
I've called you about four times in the past, and I always was able to get through on the east of the Rockies line.
Yes.
And for the last 2 months. I haven't been able to get through on that line at all.
Now, let me get this straight. So, in other words, you're in Ontario. You're calling me on the international line, and you cannot get through on the East of the Rockies line. Is that right?
Right. And I'm in area code 705.
705.
Right. And,
man, I'm telling you, the phone company.
I know. It happens here with Canadian numbers as well that are 800 numbers. Sometimes they work, and recently everything is kind of dead, and you have to call through on the long-distance line.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, I appreciate the call, but I'm telling you, and I'm telling you all, there is something going on with our phone companies. We no longer have a phone company. We have phone companies, and there's something going on. There is not as much service, not as much capacity, not as much something. And I'm going to get to the bottom of it. You know, it'd be fun to have somebody on from the phone company, or a phone company, to try and explain this. It would also be interesting to have Jerry Falwell on. I would like to have Jerry Falwell on. I wonder if he has the nerve to actually come on. You know, I know he said that people who talk about the kinds of things or believe in the kinds of things that we talk about on this show should be stoned, as in the biblical sense, stoned. But he still would make an interesting guest, wouldn't he? Make a very interesting guest. So what do you say, Jerry? Are you up to it? Or are you in fear of it, Jerry? I would have you on in keeping with my tradition of having literally anybody on. I would do it. Jerry Falwell, where are you? All right, everybody, stay right where you are. We're not done yet.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 28, 1999.
Boy, you've got to admit, amazing, this record, this song, it was made to be phased. Well, I am reminded, and properly so, that it was not Jerry Falwell who said that people who believe in UFOs should be stoned. It was Pat Robertson. I get them confused. Robertson, Falwell, Falwell, Robertson. I'd like to have Pat Robertson on, too. Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, they would make interesting guests, don't you think? Very, very interesting guests. But would they come on a show where the host from time to time has an Antichrist line? I don't think so. But you never know. So if any of you know contact addresses, email for any of them, fire them off. Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell or whoever. I'll do it. You know me. On my Antichrist line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello. I was first-time caller.
Nah. Tonight, this is the Antichrist line.
Oh, they just gave it as a first-time caller line.
I know. I'm sorry about that. I mean, that voicing does it. But you don't want to be mixed up with the Antichrist, do you?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you. Call us tomorrow, and all will be well. By the way, tomorrow Ed Dames is here, and he's been remote viewing Satan. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Turn your radio off.
It's off.
That's good.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Second-time caller for South Lake Tahoe. And I just want to let you know that I'm reading your book, The Quickening. I finally got it.
Oh.
And it's excellent.
Thank you. It's accurate.
Yeah, it's very accurate. In fact, to tell you the truth, I'm about halfway through it now, and I'm not surprised by anything. It's nice, and I've just started listening to your radio show, seriously, in December. I've been listening to it almost every night since. And it's nice to know that there's other people out there that think the same thing I've been thinking for years.
Yep.
You know, with all the suspicions, with all the things that are going on, and people that see them and actually can tie it in.
Well, you see, that's why my show, I think, resonates with people, because I cut through the normal BS that you get in the media, and I talk about the same stuff that everybody else is thinking.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, okay, for one thing, this Y2K thing that's coming up, there's very little anything in the press. Occasionally I'll see something in the Sacramento Bee, which is a local big paper, on the Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been talking to my mom, who lives in Sacramento, about it, Neil, and they're getting ready to move.
Right.
And, you know, she's like, well, how do you get all this? And it's like, well, first of all, I get it off the Art Bell Show, then I go to the website, and I get it all off the computer and off
That's right.
Other things.
That's right.
She says, well, how come there's nothing on the news? I said, well, I don't know. Think about it. You know, maybe they don't want you to know a whole lot right now, or maybe they don't want any panics at this moment.
They don't.
You know, they'll wait for the panics later.
And I don't really, none of us should want panics.
No.
And the way to avoid that is to be prepared.
Exactly.
Now, if it happens and people have not been warned, then they're going to be angry.
Yeah.
The ones particularly who have not prepared are going to be really ticked off.
Really ticked.
Yeah.
And it's like one thing I keep trying to force onto them also, and everybody else I talk to about it, because I've been talking to a lot of people, is that it may be a real big thing, it may not be. But why take a chance?
My feeling exactly, sir. Thank you. Once again, we open the gates, I mean the phone lines, to whatever may be out there. On my Antichrist line, you're on the air.
Is this me, Art?
That's you.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Really good. Well, I am the big AC, the SOP himself. I never knew it.
You never knew it? I mean, how old are you now?
Huh?
How old are you?
Well, I'm about 57.
57, and you never knew it until when?
Till a really kind minister in Salt Lake City pointed it out, and I fell in love with a gal in his congregation.
And from this he derived that you were the Antichrist?
Yes, yes. And, you know, I went and got my hand ticket. And in Salt Lake City.
Now you've really blown it, because I don't believe for one second. No, nobody gets a six call in Salt Lake City. Number one.
I got assigned a six call from Salt Lake City, Utah. And then when I moved to
California, WW666, right?
I got a post office box 666. You know?
This is beginning to get interesting, yes.
You know, but, you know, it was just because of a kind minister in Salt Lake City. You know,
it's hard to imagine any minister that would say, son, I've been observing you. You're the Antichrist. Now, what? That's not exactly...
Well, I fell in love with somebody in his congregation.
So?
And he was trying to warn her about me because I was the Antichrist.
Oh. In other words, he knew all along who you were.
The Antichrist, yes.
Yeah.
See, so it was a pretty wise fella. And then, you know, when I got my sixth call in Salt Lake City...
Now I'm a six, too, you know.
Yeah, now, but you never moved to Morro Bay and got a 666.
No, I know, but I mean, there's got to be more to it than that. So far, this is rather, except for the
bland, picture. You know. Well, you know, I'm
circumstantial
coming out with a
is
radio
what I would
program
say.
Called The Voice of the Antichrist. I'm going to move back to Salt Lake City.
You really think you're going to broadcast?
The voice of the Antichrist
from Salt Lake City.
Yes. From high atop the Wasatch Mountain.
Yeah, right. And in your dreams.
Well, hey, I got a new book coming out called Does God Believe in a Trinity? And people can write my post office box.
No, you don't. No doubt. 666, as I know. Yeah, right. Going up to Salt Lake City, the voice of the Antichrist. Right. Check. Do you know how fast you'll get run out of Salt Lake City? You won't last 10 seconds up there, buddy. Well, all right. On my Antichrist line, you are on the air.
Oh, good deal. Okay. first of all, I am the Antichrist, so you finally got me. Now you can forget
all the rest.
About asking all these other people because they don't have a clue what they're talking
about.
They're
all frauds.
They don't know me. They don't know anything about me. They don't know what's going on. And everything that's been said about me is a lie.
How are we to know that? What can you tell us that would convince us that you, of all the people that I've spoken with this evening, are the real McCoy?
Well, I could tell you in one little sentence, maybe, or maybe you'd actually have to listen to what I have to say for a little while.
I have a limited amount of time here.
Okay, I'll be here until you can no longer handle the truth.
Well, I'm listening.
Number one, people say about me that I worship Satan. Okay? Well, the thing is, what does Satan do? Okay? Satan wants your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Satan wants you to give him your soul.
Right.
And what does he do with you after he gets your soul? He puts you to work for him. And when you go to work for him, you have to go out and get other souls for him.
Makes sense.
I'm not after anybody's soul. I'm not trying to take anybody's soul. That whole concept is a lie. It's a lie and an illusion.
Are you saying there is no soul?
No, there is a soul.
There
absolutely
is a soul, right? Okay.
There is a soul, but I'm not the one out riding bicycles, knocking on doors, telling people to send me money.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that's out there recruiting people and telling them to give me their soul.
How then do you solicit souls? I don't
have to solicit souls.
Souls come to you.
I'm not after souls. That whole concept is a lie.
I see. What is it you are after?
I'm after the truth, and I am revealing the truth. You know, the whole concept in the society that you have set up here is order out of chaos. The reality is truth out of chaos. You know, but everything that you've been told about me is a lie in the first place. Now, you have to remember that.
All right. I'm trying.
Well, you really do, because the thing is, everything that's been conceived about me is that's given to the...
All the negative things that have been said, they're all bad. They're all wrong.
Well, everything that's been said. Period.
So then, all right, fine. You say you are interested in the truth.
Right.
You say everything that's been said about you or thought about you is all wrong.
Right.
So then tell us about you. What is the truth?
Okay, well, the truth is that everything that is on this planet right now is a deception, an illusion, and a movie playing out its screen. I have a part coming up in it, right? Okay, the thing is, what's going to be revealed is that everybody on this planet is in deception. And until they come out of the deception, until they wake up from the dream, this illusion that's given to you by your government, by your churches, by your religious organizations, by your morals and dogma that are issued on the media, then nobody's going to wake up. Everybody has to wake up, and that's what is happening at the end of this time. The deception is revealed. See, that's what has to happen.
All right.
And me being the Antichrist, yes, that's what I am. But the thing is that I am the good guy. Everything that you think about me is a lie. And the thing that you think that you're expecting...
And Jesus?
And Jesus? Jesus is just a myth. A mythology. There is no guy that came here. It was borrowed from older religions or stolen... And those things were all corrupted, too. It was stolen from corrupted religions and given a new name, packaged out, and then tells everybody things about me that are not true.
If Jesus you are relegating to a myth, then why should we not believe you are not but a myth?
Well, because I am the one that is of this earth. I'm the product of our society and the desire within every man's heart for freedom and truth and justice.
Well, we sure don't have a hell of a lot of that around right now.
Well, that's right. And that's why you're waiting for something to happen. That's why you're waiting for the truth to be revealed.
We're waiting for you.
Well, that's right. And you could do the same thing. But what you have to do is you have to strip away the delusion. You have to get over the corruption that's happened to you and the conditioning that's been done to you in your life. And so does everybody else. People have to get away from beliefs.
So purity is only reached when you strip away all faith and all belief systems.
Well, you replace them with truth.
And the truth is?
About what?
The truth is, obviously, that there is no God, there is no afterlife,
no,
there is no heaven. There...
That's not true.
No?
Just because I'm the Antichrist doesn't mean I'm saying there's no God. There definitely is a God.
There's a God.
But I'm the Antichrist, but I'm the good guy. See? You got the whole thing mixed up.
And God is the bad guy.
Well, it depends on which
one you
I mean,
people have to think of things, you know, they
exactly.
have to grasp simple concepts, but basically that's what you're saying.
Right. The society's model that they've been given and told is God is the bad guy. That's right. That's the Lord of oppression. That's the Lord that, that's the one that, whether you're...
Let me tell you something that somebody once told me that has always beaten me intellectually to death ever since I heard it. Somebody I know told me, when you die, don't go to the light. It's a trick. Go to the darkness.
Well,
it's bothered me ever since I heard it.
Well, that could very be right. The whole trick is, when you die, you better be able to wake up. You better be already awake before you die. You better be ready to handle death before death happens to you. Whether you're going into light or not, this is like elementary school questions here, you know. What are we going to do? We have a fork in the road. Go left or go right.
No.
It's not that simple. It's not that simple. You can't go into the light or not go into the light. It's not that simple. You have to wake up. You have to become. You have to be able to withstand the beatific vision. If you can withstand the beatific vision, then you move on. You get out of this recycled system here, this wasteland of people that have to keep coming back because they don't get it. They just don't figure it out.
Huh.
And everything that is in media right now, all this morals and dogma that are being pushed on everybody, it's lies. It's morals and dogma, and it's bad for mankind. The things that we've been told are good, chastity, marriage,
and all the preachers, all the Pat Robertsons, all the Jerry Falwells, all the...
Most of the evangelists are the big workers of Satan. That's the highest form of Satanism, is when you're the televangelist. Remember I told you, I'm the Antichrist, but I'm the good guy. Those guys are the bad guy.
I know, I'm trying to grasp this.
Yeah, the great Satan is the churches. The great Satan is the deception that was put together by Constantine in Rome, and created this huge Roman religio-governmental society that's this big lie that's happened to the entire planet.
And how do you expect your time to arrive and people to suddenly understand the truths you speak of?
Well, it's going to happen to everybody probably all at one time. You know, what happens is people wake up, people start to understand what's happening. And this consciousness develops within all of us. It's like we're having a great awakening right now. Everybody is starting to grasp it. The things that I think are going into the whole of the consciousness. They're going into the whole of it. And as I said, I am a product of this planet. I am the spirit of human. I am the man that thinks for freedom and truth and justice. The man that finds out the deceptions, hunts them down, kicks them out.
How can you personally, just as a matter of curiosity, be sure that you are not the one being deceived?
Well, put it this way, Art. I don't believe anything. I don't believe anything. I think a lot of things. I don't believe anything. And you know why? It's because the word believe, come from the Semitic root word Bel, B-E-L. And Bel was the Ugaritic god of deception. Okay? Now, that's nothing to say about your name.
That's with one L, right? That's with one L.
Yeah, well, right. And to belie, to B-E-L-I-E, is to deceive. If you belie someone, you deceive them. If you Bel-I-Eve, you are the victim of the deception. So when you believe, when you say, what do I believe? What do you believe? What does anybody believe? Everybody says, what do you believe? Well, I don't believe anything. And that's why, because the whole society, the whole, all of our concepts are turned completely around. Society sacrifices their children to the great Lord of Darkness by letting them get mind-controlled into this system, by sending them to the state indoctrination center's school system that fill them full of their morals and dogma and their lie about what humanity is supposed to be.
And the churches?
And the churches. Because the churches are they're a deception, because if somebody thinks, gee, I need to figure out what God is all about, what do? Pick up the phone book and look inside there? Where are you going to go? All these different churches, they say, we're the right one, we're the right one. And they're all based on a lie.
So God doesn't have an 800 number.
Right. God does not have an 800 number.
Hmm. All right. Well, this has been intriguing, and I will consider what you have said. On my international line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
It's Steve Cullen from B.C., Canada.
British Columbia?
Yeah.
Okay, where in B.C., actually?
Sorry, just outside of Vancouver.
Okay.
I got just something. I've been trying to get a hold of you for about a month here.
Yes.
You had a fellow on the program talking about that, the Pillar of Osiris.
Yes.
About a month ago?
Yes, I did.
I remember you asking him a question where about where all these extra souls are coming from.
Yes, I did.
And he was kind of stuck for an answer?
He was.
Yeah.
We're kind of all stuck for an answer on that one. You know, there's coming up on 6 billion of us now.
Uh-huh.
So it's not an easy answer.
Well, I can tell you where they're coming from.
All right, tell me quickly, because we don't have a lot of time.
They're coming from trees. When
trees?
The trees are cut down, the souls are released.
That's really kind of a cool concept.
I can't really.
You know
this.
Well, go read a book called Speaker for the Dead. You go read a book called Speaker for the Dead, and then you call me back. All right?
Okay.
In the meantime, tell everybody good night from British Columbia.
Okay, good night from BC.
That's it. Ed Dames, who's been doing some rather interesting remote viewing, I think, will be here tonight from the high desert. Night Hawk.